U.S. Navy promises a complete investigation into the weekend crash of a FA-18 in Virginia Beach. A popular TV fishing show host has died in an Everglades aircraft accident. And April 15th is a looming deadline, but not for what you're thinking. This is Aero News for Monday, April 9th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. We will conduct a complete investigation into the cause of this mishap and share all information we have as soon as we are able to do so. So says the U.S. Navy in the wake of Friday's crash of an FA-18 fighter jet in Virginia Beach, Virginia. The two pilots ejected before the plane impacted an apartment complex. The two airmen and four others injured on the ground were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Witnesses say, and the investigation has confirmed, that the plane dumped fuel moments before the crash. One Navy official said that act prevented a huge fireball upon the plane's impact. The jet had departed NAS Oceana. The apartment building is located in the Hampton Roads area, very nearby. Three buildings were reportedly destroyed, two others were damaged. The Navy has promised all possible assistance to the city and the residents who were affected. The jet was part of VFA 106, based at Naval Air Station Oceana, which serves as the East Coast Fleet Replacement Squadron. Their mission is to train Navy and Marine Corps FA-18 replacement pilots and weapons systems officers to support fleet commitments. The host of a popular TV fishing show was killed Friday when his plane crashed shortly after takeoff in the late afternoon. Jose Wajib, the host of Spanish Fly on the Outdoor Channel, was the sole occupant of the plane. Authorities say the single-engine Comp Air 8, an experimental kit aircraft that can seat six adults and two children, went down in a barren field just beyond the end of the runway after takeoff from Everglades Airpark. There was a significant post-crash fire. Wajib fled to the U.S. from Cuba after the Castro Revolution. He's been host of Spanish Fly since it originally aired in 1995 on ESPN2. One of his social networking pages had 66,000 followers. We're all familiar with and would often like to forget that April 15th is the deadline for federal income taxes. Well, that date is also a deadline of another sort, a happier sort. It's the final day for teachers to submit applications to participate in the free NASA-sponsored summer workshops conducted by the Space Frontier Foundation's Teachers in Space. A total of 140 teachers can be accommodated, and a few slots are still available. Teachers in Space is a project to inspire students' interest in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM, by engaging teachers with authentic astronaut training and real space science experiences, combined with information and resources they bring into the classrooms across America. The workshops are offered for high school teachers of math, science, and technology. Workshops are conducted in the fields of suborbital astronautics, space medicine and human factors, and suborbital flight experiments. For registration information, log on to www.tis.spacefrontier.org. That's www.tis.spacefrontier.org. JetBlue Airways has named Captain Craig Hoskins to the position of Vice President of Safety, effective immediately. In his role as Chief Safety Officer, Captain Hoskins will be responsible for maintaining JetBlue's culture of safety and mitigating risk in operations for the New York-based airline. Captain Hoskins will report to the airline's Chief Administrative Officer, James Natt. Previously, Captain Hoskins served as JetBlue's Director of Flight Safety, overseeing all voluntary flight safety programs, including the Aviation Safety Action Program, the Flight Operations Quality Assurance Program, the Line Observation Safety Audit Program, and the In-Flight Safety Program, as well as the Safety Investigations Team. He joined JetBlue in 2003 as a first officer on the Airbus 320 after 2 years as a pilot with Northwest Airlines. The city of Mesquite, Texas, is set to spend $1 million on a new control tower for its metro airport. When city officials first proposed a new control tower at Mesquite Metro Airport, they planned for a seven-story structure which would cost about $2 million. That proposal was based on a similar tower under construction in nearby McKinney, Texas. The FAA gave the city a grant for $1.5 million, and the city agreed to add $500,000 to the effort. However, as the tower continued to be designed, it was discovered that it needed to be 8 stories tall. The city also planned to install a backup IT communication center in the tower for emergency operations, and other technical specifications from the FAA boosted the cost to nearly $3 million. while the FAA's contribution is capped at $2 million. So, according to a report in the Star Local News, the City Council voted March 20th to allocate the additional money from a variety of accounts, bond issues, and other grants. When completed, the tower will be staffed by FAA controllers, but maintained by the City of Mesquite. Well, coming up when Aero News continues, the U.S. Navy signs a $1 billion contract with Lockheed Martin. Light Squared may seek Chapter 11 protection. And like the old adage says, what goes up, or in this case has already gone up, must now come down.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Monday, April the 9th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The U.S. Navy has awarded a $1.05 billion five-year contract to Lockheed Martin to provide more than 200 digital cockpits and integrated mission systems and sensors for the Navy's MH-60R Romeo and MH-60S Sierra helicopters. Rear Admiral Paul Groslags, the U.S. Naval Air Systems Vice Commander, said, quote, "This contract represents the Navy's commitment to build and field the most technologically advanced maritime helicopter fleet in the world," end quote. Specifically, the new multi-year contract includes 162 cockpits, integrated missions systems and sensors for the MH-60R Romeo, an anti-surface and anti-submarine warfare helicopter. It also funds 62 digital cockpits to complete the Navy's program of record for its Sierra aircraft, used for ship-to-ship cargo resupply, search and rescue, and close-in defense of Navy ships. LightSquared's orbit may be decaying toward a catastrophic reentry. Hedge fund manager Philip Falcone says that the company is seriously considering filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection from its creditors, according to a report from Reuters. The company suffered $427 million in losses in the first 9 months of 2011, according to Falcone. It was also told by the FCC that it would not be allowed to begin operation of its 4G broadband wireless data network until it could prove that it would not interfere with deployed GPS receivers. Sprint has since severed its relationship with LightSquared, and if the bankruptcy talk is correct, well, it just might be lights out for LightSquared. Final assembly of the first A350 XWB is now underway at the brand new final assembly line in Toulouse. The latest step in the A350 XWB's progress is achieved as Airbus starts joining the 64-foot-long center fuselage with the 69-foot-long front fuselage. This first A350 XWB airframe will be used for the static structural test that all new aircraft undergo as part of their certification process. The assembly of the first flying A350 XWB, MSN1, will start during the summer. Meanwhile, the Boeing 747-8 freighter reaches 6 months in service this month, and the plane maker says the aircraft is setting new standards of efficiency and performance, meeting or exceeding expectations in service reliability, fuel burn, and payload capacity. The airplane entered service in October 2011 with launch customer Cargolux. Boeing has since delivered 14 747-8 freighters to five airlines, including Cargolux, Cathay Pacific, Atlas, Airbridge Cargo, and Korean Airlines around the world. You know, it's long been said, what goes up must come down. But even if it's already gone up, officials at Cloud County Community College in Concordia, Kansas, have decided that it's better to pay about $150,000 to lower three wind turbines that it had erected so they won't lose about $1 million in federal grants awarded to the school. The college had erected the three 110-foot-tall windmills on a hill south of the campus, according to a report in the Salina Journal. When they were constructed, the FAA said that even though they were near Blosser Municipal Airport, they would not be a problem. But once it hit the fans, the wind, that is, the FAA reversed itself and determined they were indeed a hazard to navigation. The FAA had adjusted the flight patterns for the airport, but that's not good enough. So the turbines will have to be lowered between 20 and 30 feet to bring them into compliance. No timeline was given for completion of the project. Well, I can't speak for Cloud County, but our timeline for this edition of Aero News has come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.